tell you how our thinking is being so manipulated that common sense is being driven out of us because we kowtow out of fear.
This is Family Policy Matters with NC Family President John Rustin.
This week, we're pleased to bring you part two of an engaging discussion about a growing trend toward the identification and acceptance of transgenderism with Dr. Meg Meeker, a pediatrician with 30 years of experience in pediatric and adolescent medicine and a fellow of the American Academy of Pediatrics. She is a popular speaker on key issues confronting American families and the best-selling author of 6 books, including her newest, Hero, Being the Strong Dad Your Children Need. Dr. Meeker, welcome to Family Policy Matters. It's great to have you back on the show.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, Dr. Meeker, what have we seen as the byproducts or the results of introducing children to gender dysphoria and these kinds of confusing questions about sexuality at such a young age?
Well, first of all, I think that what we're seeing is tremendous, and this isn't a strong enough word, confusion in kids. But here's where I think the real danger is for the child who's not struggling with gender dysphoria. And that is, and this is 99.9% of kids in America, okay? Let's just say Sally is in the third grade, and Sally has her little friend Betty who is introduced in her class. And Sally and all of her friends see Betty. They see a girl. She looks like a girl. But the teacher says, she's not a girl. Call her Bill today because Betty doesn't feel like Betty. So the child, being a child, goes, well, the teacher must be right because the teacher's bigger and smarter than I am. So clearly, Betty that I see in front of me, I must be wrong in what I'm assessing. If I see a girl and my mind assesses a girl, but my teacher says it's a boy, I'm wrong. So now you have a third grade child who doesn't believe he or she can adequately assess their surroundings. And they realize, if I can't even tell if a girl is a girl or a boy is a boy and believe what I'm seeing, what else can I not get right? Is the grass green? Is my mother my mother? Is the sun the sun? You know, they call into question every judgment they make.
How can we accomplish these goals of treating children and families who may be promoting these issues with appropriate levels of acceptance and respect, but also understanding that we're operating in a culture these days where parents who stand up for privacy and safety of children and what they believe to be right and true are often really vilified by others who are pushing such an aggressive and controversial agenda?
Yeah, well, it's really a ruse, is it? Because I think one of the cruelest things you can do to a child, a transgender child, who already feels confused, who already has a poor self-esteem, who is already struggling on so many different levels, the cruelest thing you can do to that child is shine a spotlight on them and say, go now to the bathroom you want. I think the most compassionate thing that any of us can do is to protect all children. We protect not only non-transgender children or children who don't struggle with gender dysphoria, but we really protect those who do. And this is what bothers me. If Bruce Jenner / Caitlyn Jenner wants to talk about transgenderism in adults, have at it. Do whatever you want, but don't manipulate children to accomplish your goal. What we should be advocating for, if you really want to help a transgender child, have them have a bathroom that is separate, that is like we have in airports, that says family bathroom, anybody can use it. Do not force a child who feels like a girl but really is a boy to use a girl's bathroom and vice versa. That makes a mockery out of that child. It puts a spotlight and it's cruel.
Well, and I think we've seen that in situations where a school system, for example, or an individual school will make a reasonable accommodation for a child who is struggling with these types of issues and provide them with access to a single occupancy bathroom. But in some cases, as we see in some of these cases have actually gone to federal courts, where the individuals, whether it's the parents of the children or the groups that are sort of using them as a front to push an agenda, have said, no, that accommodation is not appropriate. We want this child, as they identify, to be treated exactly the same way as you treat every other child that identifies that particular gender. And it becomes very evident that they are not interested in a reasonable accommodation for that child, but they are truly pushing a very aggressive agenda.
Here's the real problem. Is there many like-minded people like that are thinking the way I'm thinking? Because this is so intuitive, it's so instinctual, that it's cruel to put a child who looks like a boy but believes he's a girl, to push that child into the girl's bathroom. That child will be humiliated and humiliated, because kids are kids. Unless you're going to put a guard inside the bathroom to control how other children speak to that child, because we're talking about private places here, it is nothing short of child abuse to force that child in there. And those people who are advocating for this need to be called out on it. But here's why they're winning this battle. Because those who believe in what's rational and what's reasonable, like you or I, are surrendering and going, well, maybe they're right. Maybe they're right. You know they're not right, but you don't want to act on your instincts because you're drinking the Kool-Aid, if you will. And I see this all the time, even in regular parenting. I can't tell you how we adults, our thinking is being so manipulated that common sense is being driven out of us because we kowtow out of fear, going, well, maybe they're right. Maybe they're right. I don't want to do harm. I have seen smart, intelligent parents, physicians, professionals make really outrageous decisions because they're afraid not to go along with what they see, because they doubt their instincts. And we've got to stop this. We have common sense for a reason. You know, we're in this situation because 20 years ago we decided to get away with morality, you know, and we said moral relativism is good. Well, now what we have is we don't even know if there's truth or not, so anything goes. And we're on a fast track to a spiraling craziness, if you will, because nobody wants to even say this is reality and this is not reality.
You're listening to Family Policy Matters, a resource from NC Family. To listen to our radio show online and for more resources that will help you be a voice of persuasion in your community, go to our website at ncfamily.org.
Well, it really is, and I think that we see this at the highest levels of government. Of course, in the previous presidential administration, President Obama's administration sent out letters to all public schools, colleges, and universities around the country that basically said, we are directing you to redefine the definition of the word sex. No longer is it going to be male or female, but it is going to be determined based on the whatever those individuals want to be identified as. And so if you have a boy who wants to go into the girls' locker room, shower, changing room, or play on a girls' sports team, which we're seeing more and more, or if you've got a individual's college students, for example, who are traveling for events or whatnot, and there is a boy that identifies as a girl, then that person has to be housed in a girl's dormitory or with a girl in a hotel room, those types of things. The implications of these are so far reaching.
Oh.
And if we just kowtow, as you say, to peer pressure and this radical agenda that in some cases is being forced or attempted to be forced down people's throats, then we are just going to continue to see the repercussions grow more and more and more. So as you say, it's really imperative that we take a stand for what is right and true and what we intrinsically know is the truth.
Exactly. And we have to have the backbone to protect children, all children. We need to protect the kids. We need to protect the freshman girls who say, I'm a girl. I really don't want a guy who says he's a girl sleeping in my room. And, oh, by the way, state and college, you can't make me have her sleep in my room. You know, when we as adults give up on that, give that fight, then we throw the fight and the consequences of that fight right under the backs of our children.
Exactly.
And our children should never be expected to fight. We should never allow have to have our third graders or fifth grader in a bathroom traumatized by another child who's very psychologically ill and confused. We need to protect those kids too. It is not the fault of the transgender children. This is not the fault. The fault lies on the shoulders of the adults who are unwilling to fight for the protection of all kids.
Well, so true. And Dr. Meeker, as we wrap up our discussion, I'm sure that many of our listeners who are parents or children themselves may feel at a loss as to how to have conversations about gender and sexuality with each other. How do you recommend that parents approach conversations about these issues with their children? And at what age would you recommend they begin to engage in those conversations?
Well, unfortunately, you know, it has to start early. You talk about gender identity in the early elementary school years, as well as sexual activity. And this is what I recommend to parents. Just listen to your children. When your children start coming home with questions that they don't let up on, then you need to have the conversation. The conversation about sexual activity for kids usually starts around the second grade. Because even if you have the youngest child in your home, he or she is in a classroom of kids with older siblings. And those older siblings have given their younger sibling an earful, and that's going to land in your child's lap. Incidentally, on my website, I have a whole series on how to have the talk with your kids and how what you say and how you do it, and it's megmeekermd.com. When you're coming to gender identity issues, it is more complicated. It's trickier because you're not only dealing with a child who comes in and says, I look like a boy, but I'm really a girl. You have a teacher who's affirming that. So now you've got a child. And I would say to parents what I believe my good friend Leonard Sachs, who's brilliant on this kind of thing, gender identity issues, who's an MD, PhD psychologist, said, maybe you need to switch schools. Maybe you need to get your kids in private schools. We may be at that day where we just need to stand up to schools and say, not for my kids. Gender identity issues are a little bit trickier, but fundamentally, listen to your kids and answer their questions. Don't let them go unanswered because they will find answers somewhere. And let them know, you know what, honey, Mrs. So-and-so may believe this and think this. Mommy and Daddy, we think a little bit differently. We don't want it to be a big deal for you. You're in school to learn your writing and your math and that kind of a thing. But whenever things get confusing for you around things that your teacher's saying, always come home and talk to Mom and Dad, and we'll help you with that. Mm. So make yourself the go-to person for all questions about serious matters like gender issues and sexuality and sexual activity that your child will have. Establish yourself, Mom or Dad, as the go-to person for your child, and I guarantee you they'll come to you with questions.
Well, that's great advice. And Dr. Meeker, this has been a fascinating discussion, and I want to give you the opportunity to repeat that website where our listeners can go to learn more about this topic and avail themselves of your very helpful and important research and writings on this and a number of other family, parenting, and child issues.
Sure. It's megmeekermd.com, megmeekermd.com. I do my best to answer readers' questions. I have a lot of helps and resources on there, like a video on how to have a talk with your kids. So I really encourage you to go there, and I really encourage our listeners, please, 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 you know, use your common sense. Our world is going crazy around us, and we've got to band together and stand up for the good fight, which is the fight for the protection of our children.
Great. Well, Dr. Meg Meeker, thanks so much for being with us on Family Policy Matters and for your great work working on behalf of children and families across our nation.
Thank you so much.
You've been listening to Family Policy Matters, a production of NC Family. To listen to our radio show online, and for more valuable resources and information about issues important to families in North Carolina, go to our website at ncfamily.org and follow us on Twitter and Facebook.